Well, a CCD teacher asked her children as they were on their way to Mass, "And why is it necessary, children, to be quiet in church?" And one bright little girl replied, "Because a lot of people are sleeping." Well, you know, if we knew the true miracle that takes place at every Mass, or the great miracle of the Eucharist, Mass would always be incredibly interesting and exciting and be the opposite of boring. Because at the Mass, the bread and wine become Jesus Christ. The bread and wine become his body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearances of bread and wine. It is Jesus that becomes present upon our altar, and we get that great privilege of receiving him in Holy Communion. So this great invisible miracle takes place at every Mass, called transubstantiation, where the bread and wine, even though the appearances remain the same, changes in substance to the living Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, if we take a look at today's gospel, and we'll be with the gospel of John chapter 6 over the next few Sundays, if you look at this gospel where Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish, we see a little hint or a foreshadowing, a preview of the great miracle of the Eucharist. This, of course, was not the Eucharist, but it was a miracle where Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus in this miracle shows he has power over bread, how he was able to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It foreshadows the great miracle of the Eucharist, where he feeds 1.2 billion Catholics every Sunday with his body, blood, soul, and divinity. In a few moments, I'll receive communion, you'll receive communion, your spouse, each of your children will receive the same Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? That Jesus becomes present in each consecrated host so that each one of us can receive our Lord and Savior individually. And he feeds us with his same body, blood, soul, and divinity. In a sense, just as he fed 5,000 people with the same 5 loaves and the same 2 fish. It, of course, is a great miracle that occurs every time we go to Mass, this great miracle of transubstantiation. And one thing that I think can be very helpful to our spiritual life is to read about current day Eucharistic miracles that are still present on the face of the earth. And there's a few books I'd recommend. One is called Eucharistic Miracles by Joan Carol Cruz. Another one is called This Is My Body, This Is My Blood by Bob and Penny Lord. In fact, they have 2 volumes of Eucharistic Miracles. Or you could just go to your computer and type in Eucharistic Miracles, and you'll see dozens, even hundreds, of Eucharistic miracles that can help strengthen our faith and increase our faith. Now, some of the amazing stories that you can read, one is in the life of St. John Bosco. He was a priest that worked with young people. On one occasion, he was saying Mass for 600 boys. The entire church was filled, and he had just consecrated the host and the precious blood upon the altar. And then he realized that the sacristan had forgotten to place the large ciborium of 600 hosts on the altar. It was left on the back table, so it was not consecrated. And so he didn't know what to do, so he went to the tabernacle. He found that there was a ciborium in there, but it only had 20 hosts. And so he just looked up to heaven. He said a prayer to God, asking God for a special intercession, a special miracle, so that each of the boys could receive Holy Communion. So he started to go down the altar rail and began to distribute Holy Communion. All 600 boys received a host. All 600 received Jesus in Holy Communion. And after he distributed communion to each one, he looked down and there was still 1 host left. And so he realized that the Lord had worked a Eucharistic miracle, that he was able to feed all of these young men with his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. In the life of St. Anthony of Padua, the great saint for finding things. St. Anthony has always been a great help to all of us when we lose something, but he was a great Eucharistic saint. And when he was preaching about the Eucharist in Padua, Italy, there was a heretic that began to ridicule him and mock him, and he denied the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And so St. Anthony said, well, let's do a little contest, a little test. Next week, I want you to come here and bring your donkey, bring your mule, and we'll see if this donkey will recognize the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So the following week, St. Anthony brought the monstrance with the consecrated host. He brought the Blessed Sacrament, and he stood on one end of the town square, and there were hundreds of people gathered around. The heretic brought his donkey, which he did not feed for the last 3 days. So this donkey was starving, hungry for food. And St. Anthony said, place some oats and hay on one side of the square, and I'll stand on the other. So immediately when they released the donkey, it went over towards the food, but then it stopped. And it immediately turned around and started walking towards St. Anthony, holding the Blessed Sacrament. And then the animal folded up its front legs and bowed down and adored Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Well, of course, this converted the heretic as well as hundreds of people who saw this great Eucharistic miracle, how even this animal was given a special knowledge from God to adore its Creator, its Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And actually, of course, this occurred in the 1200s, but I was told not long ago when John Paul II came to visit the United States about 20 years ago, he went to the Baltimore Seminary, St. Mary's in Roland Park. And of course, the Secret Service have to go through ahead of time to go through all the buildings to make sure there's no bombs or terrorists or anyone in the buildings before the Pope or any, obviously, dignitary goes to a place. The Secret Service always sweep through and make sure everything is safe. So some of the Secret Service men that were there tell the story of how they were taking these specially trained dogs that could sniff out any bombs or any people that might be placed there or hiding. And he says when they went through all the buildings, they got to the chapel and they went around through all the pews and went up near the tabernacle. Immediately, the dogs ran over to the Blessed Sacrament, to the tabernacle, and knelt down and began to bark and as if somebody was in the tabernacle, was truly standing there. And the Secret Service men were very impressed that these dogs, who were so sensitive to the presence of a person, perhaps they were given some sort of a knowledge from God of the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And again, so these miracles aren't just, you know, 1,000 years ago. Some of them are very recent. I've had the privilege of seeing 4 Eucharistic miracles. I've seen the one in Orvieto, and one in Lanciano, Italy, another one in Santarém, Portugal, not far from Fatima. But the one that really impressed me was Siena, Italy. The story behind this Eucharistic miracle is in the year 1730, some men broke into the Catholic Church, pried open the tabernacle, stole the ciborium with the consecrated host. They dumped the host in the poor box, and they ran off with the gold ciborium, the container. Well, the people were so distraught at this, the sacrilege, and they were looking all over for the Blessed Sacrament. Somebody discovered the consecrated host had been dumped into the poor box. This poor box was only opened once or twice a year, so it was filled with dust and cobwebs. And so they did not consume the host. They cleaned off each one and placed it in a clean ciborium. And they were just expecting that over time these hosts would disintegrate and go back to the dust. And that when that occurred, of course, then Jesus would no longer be present in the host once they disintegrated. Well, a year went by, and they were still perfectly intact. 5 years went by, 50 years went by, and the host never disintegrated or corrupted. And so here it is 250 years later, and you can go to that church in Siena and see these hosts that have never disintegrated, and they've done all the other tests where they took hosts that were not consecrated and placed them right next to them, and within a few months, certainly within a few years, they were all disintegrated. But God worked this Eucharistic miracle to keep these hosts preserved. When I was there, I was happened to be there on the one day a month where they have benediction using the beautiful glass monstrance, and they asked me if I'd be willing to give the benediction. So of course I was thrilled, so I was able to take the monstrance and bless everyone in the church with these consecrated hosts during the benediction. So it's certainly a great privilege and blessing for me to be that close to a Eucharistic miracle. And the last one I would recommend that you look up is L'Anziano, which is the oldest Eucharistic miracle. It occurred in the year 700 when a priest was saying Mass. He doubted about the real presence, and he saw before his eyes the bread become visible flesh, the wine become visible blood. And this was then preserved over these last 1,200 years. And the church has allowed scientific studies of this consecrated bread and wine, this body, flesh and blood. And the scientists have said that it truly is true flesh and blood, that it's muscular tissue of the heart. It's the same blood type AB positive as the Shroud of Turin, and it contains properties, chemicals, and proteins of fresh blood. And so science is baffled of how this could be preserved after 1,200 years, this true living presence of the flesh and blood of Christ. So the great miracle of L'Anziano is able to be seen. When I was there, you can get within a few feet of the tabernacle made of glass, so you can actually see this great Eucharistic miracle with your own eyes. So why do these miracles occur? I think the best answer is in the conclusion of Bob and Penny Lord's book. It says, these miracles have resulted in a resurgence of faith in the real presence, as well as in conversions to the Catholic faith. They have been followed by acts of reparation and increased devotion to the sacrament of Christ's love. In these ways, these miracles have strengthened the faith of thousands, even millions of Catholics, because many Eucharistic miracles have endured for centuries. They remain a testimony by God to one of the most basic truths and most exalted mysteries of the Catholic faith, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not only in Bethlehem, but in every Catholic tabernacle and upon every Catholic altar.